Hello, loyal Sound of Hockey listeners. Thank you so much for joining us once again. This is Darren. Before we get to our regular scheduled programming, which is going to be episode 252 of the Sound of Hockey podcast, we wanted to share something pretty exciting for you, which is that we are launching a Patreon. I think this is a long time coming. We've had people asking for quite a while on how they can kind of help support our cause here at Sound of Hockey. We don't really have a cause anymore, I guess, do we?
I'd say we have a cause.
Okay. Right? Which is to provide the best content about the Seattle Kraken and beyond in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So we do have a cause. Okay.
Yeah.
But we've had people asking how they can support us financially over the years. And we've always just kind of said, you know, when the time is right, we'll do it. We'll figure out some ways. And so finally, we've decided to go this route to kind of get things started on that foot. So just so you know, if you're not somebody who wants to join the Patreon, that's totally okay. Nothing's going to change for you. You're going to continue to get the great content that we've been putting out. We're never going to put things behind our existing content. We're never going to put behind a paywall or anything like that. But there are some exciting things that will come for the folks that do join the Patreon, which by the way is patreon.com/soundofhockey. We have four different tiers that you can join at if you do wish to join our Patreon. John, would you like to talk about the first two tiers?
Yeah, there's a pretty much an entry level tier,
okay,
which is just $1 a month, a whole $1.
What's that one called?
That's the Learn to Play.
Learn to Play.
Learn okay. to Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also have a major junior tier, which is $5 a month. We are giving you additional content for supporting us. Two monthly mailbag episodes on the Sound of Hockey podcast, so we're just going to release those right on Patreon. Anytime we have an interview, we're going to try to post those early, so you have an early preview of those interviews. We're also going to throw up some NHL draft prospect videos. I think Curtis has done a great job at those. Some scheme videos, some other bonus exclusive videos. We're still developing those things. And then, I know this is a deep cut for a lot of nerds out there, but I'm going to do some data projects every month, and I want you to have voting rights on it, and I want to have dialogue around it. So if you guys give me work to do, I'm going to have to go do it for you. So you're going to have voting rights on that. So Darren, do you want to cover the next tier?
Oh, I sure do. So the next, I'm so glad that you asked, John. The next tier is the No Bucket Warmer Upper tier, which is obviously applicable. Maybe not obviously, but it will be in a little bit. We're going to talk about No Bucket Warmer Uppers in this episode. But if you're a No Bucket Warmer Upper, that means that you have a little bit more money that you can throw our way. It's $10 a month. So, you know, you just want to support us more. You have a little bit more support, and you're going to get the same benefits of being in the major junior tier, but you're also going to get a quarterly online live show, which we're still sorting out exactly how we're going to do that, but we're going to figure it out. We have a couple different ways of doing it that we've talked about. So we're going to do that live for our No Bucket Warmer Uppers and higher. And then we're also going to do some nerdy stuff, more data visualizations that you're going to do. Right,
yeah,
John?
Special just for the Patreon.
That's right.
I've got a lot of stuff in the incubator for that. Mm-hmm. So if you're into that stuff,
it's right? cooking.
Yeah, it's cooking.
Definitely
yeah.
cooking. Yeah. Curtis, would you like to talk about the highest tier?
I would like to. And just one little footnote to the No Bucket Warmer Upper tier as well. There will be monthly pregame home game meetups.
Oh,
that's right.
In that tier as well. So if you would like to experience the John Barr pregame experience,
that's there's going to be two of us there.
yes. Not just John. There will be two.
I don't know why you guys are looking at me. I probably should have included that one though. There's probably probably a reason that I skipped over that one.
So, but as Darren mentioned, there is one more tier. It's what we call the All-Star tier, $20 a month for those out there who feel like they want to be able to support the community for the benefit of others. And I know, John, just to kick it to you for a moment, I know that you've been a supporter of KEXP for a while, and maybe you could just speak to the inspiration here.
That's really kind of what I've always wanted it to be about, the community. And this has always been a community, Sound of Hockey. But I've been a supporter of KEXP for over 10 years now. And, you know, they rely on donors, period, for their radio station, and it creates a very unique experience and unique content. And I'm like, well, what a better model for that, for Sound of Hockey, because I think it's, this has always been about the community. I mean, you guys nail it with the reviews, you nail it with our interactions. People say hi to us in real life. And it feels like a big community, and I'm hoping to replicate that as much as possible. And again, it's like KXP, not everybody can contribute, but hopefully people that have the means to do it can contribute so that other people can benefit from the same content we're doing. And you know, there's three of us on in the room right now, all three of us write for the site. We also have a photographer. We have an editor who does a great job every week.
Sam, shout out Sam.
Yeah. And, you know, we'd like to compensate them for their time because this is really what they do for professional life. Yet we don't pay them, certainly not a legitimate rate. But we're hoping with your support, we can kind of add to that and enhance some of the content that is even available on the site or podcast. We're going to do some YouTube stuff this coming year. But again, we're trying to limit the stuff behind a paywall. But we do think there's some cool benefits around the Patreon for those contributors that want a little bit more for their money.
So at the All-Star tier, in addition to that, just knowing that you're supporting, you know, defraying some of the costs associated with Sound of Hockey and supporting some of the great work done by some of the people behind the scenes at Sound of Hockey. In addition to that, if you're at this $20 a month level, you'll get a seasonal gift each year.
Ooh, seasonal gift, you say?
It's I think it'll be unique each year if you're a All-Star Patreon for more than 6 months. And then we'll also be doing away game watch parties. With at least two of us at each of those each month. There'll be a raffle for those in the All-Star level to, if you want to join us, maybe crack open a college soda and watch a Kraken away game. We'd love to do that with you. So that's the $20 level.
And for a limited time.
Okay.
Any Patreons at the $5 or more level, I've got some raffle items I'm going to kind of send off to people. Hold on. Let me get my bag of goodies.
Okay. He's literally reaching for a bag.
Yep.
You might hear that now. This is... Yep, there's...
I've got some OG NHL to Seattle mugs.
Okay.
Only a few left.
I can confirm he is holding a mug. Yes.
He's really far from the microphone, but in case you didn't hear that, it was a mug.
I've got Kraken hats.
He's got some Kraken hats,
Couple rally towels.
Rally towels from the playoffs. Okay.
And some... Kraken hockey fights cancer.
Oh, those are nice. Yeah. Those are very nice. Okay.
Again, we'll see how many Patreons we get, but I'm going to raffle them all off.
Talk into your microphone.
I'm going to raffle them all off based on anybody who's at the $5 or more tier by October 1st.
All right. So some fun swag to be had.
In my bag of goodies.
Just by signing up. So, all right. Well, that's that. It's patreon.com/soundofhockey. Hopefully y'all will want to sign up for that. It would be really cool to get some folks subscribing there. And by the way, when you go to patreon.com, the UX isn't perfect. So the All-Star tier, if you're looking to become an All-Star.
And we love the All-Stars.
Tier. Yeah. I mean, we love anyone that even listens to the show. But if you become a patron, as I think they say, if you want to be the All-Star, you have to... If you're on the desktop, you have to scroll to the right. So you have to click an arrow because it doesn't show all the tiers, which I think is kind of silly. And if you're on your phone, you have to like click on a button to show the fourth tier. So, all right, that is that. Let's get to our show. It is The Sound of Hockey, episode 252. Sound of Hockey, episode 252. This is a very special episode because it's Sound of Hockey cocktail hour here. It's Friday night, and we decided to crack open a couple of cold college sodas to record this episode. So I think that'll add a little extra flavor here as we head into training camp. We're calling this one the Ron Hainsey episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Ron Hainsey played 1,132 regular season games in the NHL. He played with 7 franchises.
Okay.
One of which was the Atlanta Thrashers, which may be a kind of a casual theme of this podcast, just so you know.
All right.
He won a Stanley Cup with the Penguins 2017. He would play 900 regular season games, over 900 regular season games before making his playoff debut, which is that same year that he won the Stanley Cup. So pretty incredible. He's the current assistant executive director of the NHLPA. That might come up later.
Okay.
And he had 252 career assists.
Boom. There it is. There it is. The mic drop moment there, even though the mics actually sit on little stands.
Funny thing about Ron Hainsey, I always used to hear his name, particularly around trade deadline. But I never really remember watching him play too much. I do remember the Stanley Cup run with Pittsburgh, but I realize it's because he's always played in the Eastern Conference, and I probably gravitated and watched a little bit more Western Conference teams. So that's the funny thing about Ron Hainsey to me. He had like this amazing career, but for lengthwise, and I just barely saw him play.
Yeah. So I think that aligns nicely with my theories or opinions of watching Ron Hainsey. I was like, oh, that's a player, you know?
But, like, haven't you heard his name a ton?
Yeah. A ton of times. Yeah. But I couldn't tell you what he looked like, couldn't tell you what style of player he was. I just know that he was a player. He played a lot, so.
Former Thrasher.
That's, so I'm not clear on what the subtle theme is going to be with the Thrashers, so you'll have to make sure to point that out to me. Yeah.
It's a subtext of a lot of things we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. This is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL to Seattle on the X.
On the X. And also Curtis Izaki. Curtis.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deep Sea Hockey on the Twitter.
And there's a reason that I just emphasized your name a little bit, and that's because in our 5-star review here from Our Plane for Life, which says, the place for your ear holes, Kraken fans, I think, it gets cut off. This is a little bit of a long review, and there's some pointed feedback in here, but it's a 5-star review, and it's well done, so I appreciate it. So this is from the gentleman who wrote the question in the mailbag last week, asking if we were to kill a segment, which one would it be, and why would it be Goalie Gear Corner? Clearly not a fan of Goalie Gear Corner, and that's okay, I know it's not for I know it's not for everyone. So he says, Sound of Hockey has been my go-to Kraken podcast since the expansion draft. As someone who grew up in a hockey-crazy market, it was awesome to discover a local pod that provided a blend of useful game analysis and hockey news, not just around the team, but the league. John, Darren, and Chris...
Oh, boy.
I get that a lot.
All sound like guys I'd like to sit down and have a beer with to chop it up about hockey. Well, coincidentally, we're drinking beers as we speak. So
pop one open right now and you'd be...
And this kinda, Chris guy is.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what you're doing. Like, if you're listening to this in the car, wait until you get home. Yeah. Maybe hit pause, go home, crack. And if you're like listening in the morning too,
it's your life.
Yeah. You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So,
okay.
He says, all right, now that I have given them their flowers, it's time to address my mailbag question and Darren's follow up comment from last week's episode. Under the category of a more off the wall question, I asked which segment they would kill and why it should be Goalie Gear Corner. This is a tongue in cheek question, but it's important to provide some context. At the tail end of 2021, I found myself road tripping with my brother, a diehard Edmonton Oilers fan. Being from Edmonton, we grew up on a steady diet of all things Oilers in the media because beyond a giant mall, what else is there to do in Edmonton? Nothing.
He said it.
I'm just reading here, okay? I've actually never been to Edmonton, so I can't comment positively or negatively. Anyways, I told him about this great new podcast I had started listening to with in-depth analysis, hoping to get him a bit more into the Kraken, maybe as his number two team. So I throw on an episode thinking we are about to get into the weeds on statistical analysis. Instead, we are treated to a huge extended Goalie Gear Corner segment and interview. I lost him there. Sorry, guys. He was gone. I wonder what episode that was. I wonder if it was maybe like the Brian's rep where we just talked Goalie Gear for the whole time.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Could have been. It says, hopefully this provides a bit of context. Last week, Darren accused me of being new to the pod because everyone loves Goalie Gear Corner. I have been here since episode 147, behind the ropes at the expansion draft, so I'm not new to the pod. I'm here to represent the little guy that is not quite as enamored with the pictures on Goalie Gear.
Well, I think you acknowledge, too, that he actually knows quite a bit because he named three segments that we haven't done in 3 months. Yeah.
With all of that said, I may have developed Stockholm syndrome when it comes to this segment, as it has grown on me a bit. 5 stars. Stick taps to Andy, Ryan Heinrichs. Thank you, Ryan. That was fantastic. I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, so that was a good one.
Chris here reporting in, and I'll just say that I actually I feel the same way as the reviewer, but Stockholm syndrome. It's syndrome because it works.
Right.
So
right.
Now I'm all in on Goalie Gear Corner.
Isn't Stockholm syndrome when you've been kidnapped and you like fall in love with your
captor? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. But that's kind of it. You're like, oh, I hate this stuff. But now all of a sudden I love Goalie Gear Corner.
Okay. So, because you just have,
yeah,
you're held captive.
Yeah.
During our podcast. That's tough. That's a tough way to
Think
of it. But all right. Well, I mostly hear nothing but feedback. But you know what we're going to do for you, Ryan? We're not going to do Goalie Gear Corner this week. So that's our treat for you.
And there's
a lot of new Goalie Gear out there.
Yeah.
I saw some Dazzlers, but we're not going to talk about that.
It means next week, don't listen.
Yeah, maybe skip next week's
episode.
Next
week could be rough.
But there's a lot going on, though, in the hockey world in general. Before we get to it, though, since we are having cocktail hour, I have a couple of kind of funny stories to share with you. So I went to Pullman last week. I'd never been there before. The Badgers were in town to play Washington State. Unfortunately, the Badgers lost.
Did you rush the field?
With the Washington State fans? No, we left a minute early because we're getting judged. There were a lot of Badger fans there. And actually, people were generally really friendly. As we got closer to game time and people got like really drunk on game day, we got a little bit of harassment, but it was pretty minimal, generally speaking. So people are very welcoming. But the story that I wanted to actually share is we ended up staying in Moscow.
Yep.
Moscow.
Idaho.
Right. But how do you pronounce it?
Moscow.
No, it's definitely not Moscow. Definitely not that. We learned.
All right.
Anyway, sure. I don't know if it's Moscow or Muskow, but either way, we stayed there, which is where the University of Idaho is. Didn't know that. I learned that they're like 10 minutes from each other. We went out for a lot of drinks the first night we were there, Friday night. And we made friends with some kids from a local fraternity who were very, very nice kids. They were just weirdly really welcoming and friendly, which I don't remember myself being like that as a 19, 20, 21-year-old college kid. But yeah, very, very friendly. We were drinking Purple Viking shots with them, which I don't know what they were, but they were purple. And
What could go wrong?
It was the kind of drinking that I'm getting a little too old for, I'll be honest.
I hear you.
So I was a little concerned, right? Like, I'm like, you know, it's getting to be like 2 a.m. here, and I don't really do this anymore. I don't know the last time that I had a shot, and I've had quite a few shots tonight. And the one guy, the one of the college kids, says something like, you know, you guys probably don't want to drink that because it's, you know, I know you're getting kind of old or something like that. Because I had made a couple of comments about, like, I'm worried about my own health for tomorrow because it also was the night before game day, right? At this point, I had switched to water, and they had just to give you a little bit of a, like, paint the scene a little bit, the bar, pretty similar to Bar Down Studios. Like, it was just a...
really nice.
Very
high
nice.
High-end.
Yep. Yeah.
Lots of it hockey jerseys.
If you turned this into a bar, it wouldn't look that different. So
I like it.
So as part of that, they had just a big jug of water, like a Gatorade jug, you know? And so I'm filling up my cup of water, and it so happened that the cups were the little clear 12-ounce cups. This is getting to be a really long story, I'm realizing. The little clear 12-ounce cups, which happened to be our cups of choice when I was in college, okay? That's important because when it came to chugging things out of cups that specific size, I was really good at it. I'm not trying to, like, be braggy or anything like that. That doesn't come across braggy. If it was like a 16-ounce cup, you know, the big red solo cups, I was not good at it. Or if it was a can, I was not good at it. But those 12-ounce clear cups, I was great at. So for some reason, this young kid, he says something like, you guys probably don't want to drink that because, you know, I'm worried about you. You're old or whatever. And my buddy Greg goes, he laughs in his face and goes, we will drink you under the table. And I was like, well, now that's a braggy thing to say, right? But the kid goes, prove it. And in one fell swoop, I took my cup of water, chugged it the way that I used to chug in college, set it down, flipped it with just my pinky, and it landed perfectly upright. And it was like, I couldn't have done it any smoother, right? It was like, okay, here's me proving it. And in a second, I chugged and flipped the cup. And they both saw it, and they just, like, their mouths dropped. And Greg was just like, Darren, that might have been the coolest thing you've ever done. And then the next day, I'm like, Greg, you remember I did that really cool thing last night? And he's like, no, I don't remember at all. And I was like, ah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It was a long night. It was a long... long night. But
how'd the relations with the kid go? Were they pretty stoked about it?
Oh yeah, these kids were awesome, man. I like wanted to go back to college and be buddies with these guys. I loved them. Cool. They were so nice.
I love it.
All right, that's my story. Another story for you. I also went to Vancouver this week for just like a one night work thing that I had to do, and I went out to a bar and TSN was on, and they kept doing the top 10 list of like when animals attack at a sports venue. And the Condor video was number one. Oh, and it like it I saw yeah, it like three times yeah. during my time sitting at this bar. So I texted Matt Odette about it and told him that he was still number one.
He's a legend.
So, yeah. He can't. He cannot escape
wins
that video.
Wins a WHL
man.
Championship, but hey, you text him when you see the Condor video, yeah. not when he wins the championship. Right? Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. That makes sense.
I think I probably texted him when he won.
I probably would have
texted
him
too, but
after the championship. But
yeah.
okay.
But I remember he said when we interviewed him and yeah. asked him about that he was like, "Yeah, every now and then, some sort of animal related thing happens, yeah. and now all of a sudden, this top 10 list shows up, and I start getting texts again.
Yeah,
and
like
I'm
a squirrel goes on the field.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Oh so. Man.
Okay, no more Darren story time. That was like 10 minutes
all
of story
right,
time, which
that.
Is
that was
yeah,
right.
yeah. That was
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
All right. Kraken news. Training camp is here, folks. It is here. Like here. Rookie camp starts Monday. It'll be a 2-day affair, Monday and Tuesday. I think is that at like 11:30, right, each day?
Doors are at 11 a.m. I think practice starts at 11:15.
Okay. Have they put that out publicly, the actual? I know they sent
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think so.
They did just publicize it on Friday.
Okay. Yep. So practice actually starts, right, at 11:15 on Monday and Tuesday. Those are the rookies specifically. Wednesday is a day off. I think they do their like media like headshots and
stuff
that
yeah.
day. And then Thursday is when actual training camp starts. So there's two sessions, 9:40 a.m. and 12:20 p.m. So there's like kind of a gap in between. And then they have their first preseason game on, what day is that? Friday?
Monday.
No, the 25th. It's Wednesday. Thursday is the first day of camp. Friday is their first preseason game, right?
Well, the 25th is a Monday, and I know they have a home game against Calgary. That's the split squad.
Right.
On the 25th.
Okay, my brain isn't comprehending this then.
If they play on the 22nd, then that's a different story. But first home game is
okay.
the 25th.
Yeah, yeah, because training camp starts on Thursday. There's 2 days of camp. They have a day off. Okay, that was really poor by me.
It's all right. It's off the rails episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cocktail hour, folks. Cool. So that's the first one. And then there's more after that. But I think if we continue to go through this schedule, that's just going to go in one ear
yeah,
and out the other.
It's subject to change. I mean, you should be checking before you head out to rookie camp or training camp just to make sure these times haven't changed, because they do sometimes. But also on the schedule for Thursday and Friday of next week, the training camp day will end with a scrimmage, according to the team. So
there you go.
Those can be pretty fun.
Yep, I would agree. Especially because there's usually like some young players that are trying to make a name for themselves, and so this is a big thing. So do we want to talk a little about who is on the rosters for each? Or I mean, I don't know that there's really any surprises, are there? It's pretty much everyone that we would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much if any of these players are playing in a European league like Finland or Sweden, they didn't make the trip over,
right?
So there's quite a couple Finns, a couple Swedes, or people playing in the Swedish league. So no real surprises there, plus nobody that's playing college currently, because that would be against the rules, or they've started school, right? Yeah, so no real surprises, no PTOs that we know of. I mean, there has been a couple camp invites. Eric Jameson from Everett and Tyler Palmer. Tyler Palmer is the goalie as well. Mm-hmm. Palmer is, I believe, he could be signed as a free agent, but Jameson is still got at least one more year of draft eligibility. So no real surprises, I guess. Not that we thought maybe there could be a PTO, but there is none. So
at least not yet.
That's true. It could come in a little hot.
True. There yeah. still could be. In terms of the rookie camp days, just if you haven't seen the roster yet, don't expect to see someone like Matty Beniers at the rookie camp. It's really, it's reserved for players who don't have much NHL time at all. So you'll see Ryker Evans there. You'll see some others. You'll see Shane Wright there. And we're going to talk a little bit more a little later in this podcast about some of these guys. But just to be clear, those first 2 days, you won't see any of the NHL regulars.
And Cole Land is not in rookie camp either.
So. Right, because he's too
older.
Old to be characterized as a rookie.
Well, why don't we talk about those other players now? How about that?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. Camp storylines, things to keep an eye on as we're entering this third Seattle Kraken training camp. What's the big one for you, John? What do you think you are most keeping an eye on here going into training camp?
Well, I
hope
I'm not stealing this from you guys, but
no, steal away.
Why it's really
you
Ty Cartier.
Steal away.
Ty Cartier and how he plays. I do think he's likely to be sent down regardless. I mean, assuming everybody's healthy. Even if he has a good camp, if he has a great camp, I think they keep him. But because he's waiver exempt, I think he's kind of one of those guys you can send down and there's no consequence to it. So that is my big player I'm watching for training camp.
Okay. I think others, well, Curtis, you got one?
Okay. I'm going to leave a big one for you, Darren.
Okay.
I think you're ready to talk about one. So I'm going to go with maybe their biggest free agent addition this year, Brian Dumoulin. I think you, Darren, called him out. You were over there the other day and said you thought he looked pretty good.
He did. Now, it was a pretty light scrimmage. Like, they were skating hard. And yeah, that was kind of cool, by the way. I was the only one there. The only human that wasn't like participating in the practice or working for the Kraken. I just was there like a private viewing of a little...
An exclusive practice.
Kraken practice.
For Darren Brown. Very nice.
I enjoyed that.
But he's, you know, at this point, we can say categorically their biggest free agent addition of the offseason. A couple of years ago, he's on a first pair for the Pittsburgh Penguins that are contending for Stanley Cups, right? And then over the last year or two, some have seen a dip in his play. So there's a question. He's not that old. There's potential there for him to kind of bounce back. So I'm curious to see what he looks like. Is he, you know, someone we have to be concerned about on the third pair, or is he someone who can really add value over someone like Carson Soucy?
Yeah. So. Gave me a good first impression. So, you know, it was kind of funny when I got to my hotel where I was staying in Vancouver. There's a guy, I was wearing a Kraken hat, and I got out of my car, and the, like, bell person or whatever was like, oh, you're a Kraken fan? I was like, well, we got your defenseman. And I was like, you mean our third pair defenseman? So, got him. Got his ass. Got his ass.
I still don't understand that signing for the Canucks, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I don't know. And to be fair, I actually liked Carson Soucy.
No,
lot,
me too.
Okay, so mine, I'm just curious, in general, who ends up making this team, because I think there's three young players that in theory have a claim to stake, so to speak, with Cole Lind, who isn't that young anymore, but I think he deserves a real chance. Shane Wright, obviously, and Ty Cartier, who, I mean, you'd think he's right there. But then factor in Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, right? Kyler Yamamoto, a couple of the guys that got brought in this year, and all of a sudden there aren't that many spots without an injury, right? If there's an injury, then there's kind of spots for all of them, I think. But I've been thinking about it more and more, and if they get through training camp with everybody healthy, all four of their lines, all the returning players are healthy, I could see a world in which Bellemare does not actually make the team. They put him on waivers and keep all three of these rookies. The thing that concerns me about that is that then theoretically you have two extras who are young players not playing. And they would have to supplant a veteran from the lineup, or they would need an injury to get a real shot. So that concerns me a little. I think they're going to be hesitant to put Cole Lind on waivers if Ty Cartier beats him or Shane Wright beats him. I think they want Shane Wright to make the team. I think they're hoping that he's taken a big step this offseason. But yeah, I think those are the things that are, I guess there's a lot of storylines wrapped up in one there, but I think it'll be really interesting to see how those last couple forward spots shake out, which it always is. That's always a really interesting thing to look at during training camp and see, you know, and then you start looking at like trying to read between the lines of who they're pairing them with and who they're skating them with in preseason games and, you know, okay, oh, they're giving a really good shot tonight. He's on the second line or whatever. So,
Speaking of which, I would urge people not to read into lines at all during the preseason.
Well, I do. It's interesting. It's fun.
Well, except that essentially all the games are split squad anyway, you know?
Yeah.
And the lines just will change dramatically throughout the year. Even opening week, the lines are going to change quite a bit from that. So my only point is like, yeah, it might be something to talk about, but for the most part, I wouldn't kind of lock any of these guys in, and you know how Hackstall can be when you ask him about lines and where they're at.
What do you mean he's so forthcoming about that stuff?
I mean, we've gotten to the end of the offseason now. I mean, rookie camp is here, as you said. And I think you're right. I mean, we've seen...
You're right?
Shane Wright.
Okay.
You're right about Shane Wright. The team has kind of made it clear at this point they want him to seize that role, because the bar he needs to get over here is really Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, Devin Shore.
Pierre-Édouard Bellemare is what he needs to get over.
Devin Shore and John Hayden, who are not really, haven't been primary faceoff takers, you know, in their NHL careers. So it's really Pierre-Édouard Bellemare. And as you said, that's, you know, he's a player, a good player to have in the room. He's been a good player, can win faceoffs, would be fine on a fourth line. But if Shane Wright can come in and clear that threshold, you know, he's not a piece that you're, that you'd be losing sleep about putting on waivers, yeah, as you say.
Okay, now here's one for you. Consider.
Wait, can we pause real quick?
Sure. Oh, so you don't actually need to pause. You just need to
keep that in.
I just need that sound effect.
Crack open another bowl of loudmouth soup there is what's going on.
Go on. Proceed.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one for you. So let's say that they do end up keeping, I mean, usually teams keep two extra forwards, one extra D, right? I know in the past the Kraken have sometimes kept 2D, one forward. I think they're not going to do that because of all the things we've talked about. I think they're trying to get a couple of these young guys onto the team. But what about Jacob Megna and Cale Fleury? What happens with those guys on the blue line?
So,
I think Riker Evans is destined for the AHL. But
yeah, my instinct, this is all assuming good health.
Yep.
Knocking on wood.
That wasn't wood. Go ahead and hit that chair. You're
literally
sitting on
a wood chair.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
There we go. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Assuming good
this?
Health.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean,
first time?
Cale Fleury. You know, the reason why I'm hesitant about your plan, Darren, mm-hmm, of potentially keeping Cole Lind and Ty Cartier potentially as extra forwards is our experience with Cale Fleury last year.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think if Dave Haxtell has shown anything, it's that, you know, for a young player to break through to a core veteran lineup, that's going to be difficult. And Ty Cartier showed a lot in the playoffs last year. I don't want to say that it's the same situation, but I would be concerned about Ty Cartier in particular if he's an extra forward kind of sitting there and essentially missing a year,
yeah,
which
I wouldn't
want for him.
I agree.
Again, assuming what I just said about injuries. So that's the reason why, in my calculation, I think Pierre-Edouard Bellemare still has a role on this team for that reason.
Well, and I'd say if Cartier is the 13th forward, put him in the minors, right, until you need him. And one thing we love about Cartier is that he can play anywhere up in the lineup, right, as far as, like, up and down the lineup. He had no problem, like, slipping in. Man, Cartier, Beniers, and Eberle, that was pretty awesome, right? But the point being is he can play there. He's not, like, Bellemare, he's reliable as far as, like, he's not going to make, you know, some egregious mistakes. But you're not going to put him on the top. If you're putting him in the top two lines, you got some other issues going on. Yeah. So
it's like when we had
Shahan.
I was going to say we had Goofy in that last week. But I don't want to compare Pierre-Edouard Bellemare to Goofy. Okay. That's not quite a fair comparison. But you said similar sentiments last week. You were like, well, if you're relying on him as your goalie, I think you have some other issues. Yeah. So I started to say that, and I was like, that's going to sound like I'm calling him a cartoon character, and that's not what I'm going for. So
let's get us back to your original question.
Yeah, put us back on the rails here,
Cale Fleury.
Curtis.
And I took us off the rails of Cale Fleury. Okay. But I think, you know, they signed Connor Carrick, who's like a very, you know, has NHL experience, very accomplished AHL player who's right shot D.
Former checker.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, he'll make it through to the AHL, almost certainly. So I think that he's kind of Cale Fleury insurance on waivers. I don't think that they want to have Cale Fleury, assuming no injuries, be in the same position as he was last year.
I bet
then you have
put
two
him on waivers. Yeah,
two lost years, essentially. Yeah.
But if they don't keep him and put him in the press box, then that will end their perfect streak of always having a Fleury in the press box. So
I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury's out there.
That's
right?
True.
You know, and Minnesota might have an extra goalie.
But he's still under contract with the Wild.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
So they could trade for him, theoretically.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, nobody mentioned the goalie situation.
Well, yeah, good point. That's a storyline to watch.
I think we've talked about that.
We have.
Ad nauseum, but.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Three goalies for two spots.
Still think Joey's in almost locked.
I wouldn't say locked by any means.
Almost locked.
Almost locked.
But you said by any means, so.
He needs to perform well. Yeah. He definitely needs to perform well. All right. I see a quizzical on the show notes, which I didn't put there. So what's going on?
Uh-oh.
Who's doing it? John, did you do it? Is this you?
No, this week it's Chris.
Chris.
Chris is doing
let's
it this
get,
week.
Let's get Chrisical.
Let's get Chrisical. Chris into the studio.
Let's see, Chris, you're a quizzical correspondent. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Let's get Curtisical. Let's get quizzical.
All
so
right.
The theme this week is Kraken prospects.
Okay.
And this seems timely because we have Kraken Prospect Camp coming up on Monday.
Can I pause for 1 second? I should say. I'm a little nervous here because you haven't been Quizmaster before.
Yes.
Do you know what you're even doing?
One thing. You've had no training. We've given you no training.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just jump in and do it, right? Like, think about when they were trying to find a replacement after Alex Trebek passed away, right?
Took ages.
Yeah. It was hard. Like,
or a couple weeks.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Yeah.
Which
I was thinking about Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
He gave it a go.
Too soon.
I mean.
Nah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Well, he didn't die, but
his Achilles.
Yeah.
Just his Achilles.
All right, so your concerns have been noted.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about the level of difficulty. That's what I'm actually concerned about here.
I think you're just sowing the seeds of a future objection, I think is what's coming here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Carry on.
We'll carry on. You have a challenge.
Speak there.
You have a challenge preserved for
objection
later.
Noted.
Yeah. Objection noted.
Sustained.
Okay. I personally don't think this will be too hard, but we'll see. Let's see how it goes. Last week turned out to be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So readers on the website might know that I have put together, ahead of the last two drafts, I put together something called the Sound of Hockey Big Board, which is using
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of it? Okay. We have a website. It's called soundofhockey.com.
Okay.
I recommend checking it out.
There you go.
Where I've compiled public sources and made a composite list of the top draft eligible prospects. Well, this year, I compiled the 7 sources of public rankings of the Kraken prospect pool, okay? So I made a composite list of the top Kraken prospects, and this will go up on Sound of Hockey at some point pretty soon. But I figured it'd be a good let's get quizzical. I thought we'd just run from the top and do the top 10 and see if you guys can get what the public thinks are the top 10 Kraken prospects.
In order?
I'm going to go in order.
Okay. So you're going to hand it to me and say, who's the number one prospect?
Correct.
And can I steal?
Yes. Stealing will be allowed. We've established that stealing is very effective in this game.
But you put out a thing the other day.
Yes.
Where you were ranking all NHL affiliated, so you had Aaron Rodgers on the brain.
Yep.
Affiliated prospects.
Yes.
And the number one prospect based on, so is it using that same metric?
No, that exercise was based on, that was me getting into my spreadsheet, to the reviewer's point. That was a data only project. This is just based on public scouting sources. So I'll give you the sources, like listeners, and you have probably heard of some of them, like McKean's Elite Prospects, Daily Faceoff has a draft expert, Sean Ellis, NHL.com, Scott Wheeler and Corey Promen from The Athletic.
If you don't say Chris Peters, I'm turning this whole thing off.
So I looked for a Chris Peters source, good friend of the pod.
Yes.
And
good friend,
I don't.
Not best friend.
I didn't say that, Chris. We should get Chris. Maybe that's who he was referring to. He's a good friend of the pod, after all.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't see that he had done a Kraken specific list at this point. He would have obviously been weighted very heavily. Okay, let's get into this. Enough delay.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with, we'll alternate back and forth. I'm going to ask you who is the number one rated prospect, and then you can steal if you don't get it right.
Okay.
Number one seems like kind of a layup, so who wants that one?
Go ahead and take it.
All right, Darren, who is the number one Kraken rated prospect on the composite Sound of Hockey ranking?
And Maddie does not count as a prospect, right?
Very good point. Maddie Beniers does not count.
Okay, I'm going to go with Shane Wright.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
1 point for Darren.
1 point for Darren.
Wow, that was a tough one.
All right.
Riker Evans.
Number two. John is going with Riker Evans. That is actually incorrect.
See, I don't like this scoring system because now he's going to appear later in the...
Yeah,
you have to get his exact position.
We're just going to both keep guessing.
Darren, would you like
to
steal?
It should have been...
Of course I would like to steal.
All right. Who are you going to go
Penalty.
With?
Penalty.
I'm going to go with... Ty Cartier.
That is also incorrect.
Oh.
According to, again, this is a composite of public sources.
No, I'm not questioning the methods.
Edward Chalet.
Yeah.
Is number two. So Darren has one, and we're going back to Darren now. Who is the number three prospect?
Well, now I'll go Riker Evans.
That is correct.
Oh okay. That's real cool.
All right. maybe we set him up to succeed by giving him the first one.
Eh?
Okay.
Well.
John, who is the fourth ranked Kraken prospect? So at this point, Shane Wright, Edward Schala.
I got it. And Ryan Gravitz. Yeah, I can count to three. Yeah.
Can you count to two? Because it's 2-0 right now.
This one is going to be a little tricky. Although I don't agree with this placement.
No, this is, you're just trying to win.
I'm trying to guess what other people agree.
Indeed.
Ty Nelson.
That is incorrect. Darren, would you like to steal?
I'll go back. Yes, I would. I'll go back to Ty Cartier.
That is incorrect.
Still incorrect.
Jagger Furkus.
Jagger Furkus. Okay.
Number four, according to the public. All right. We are now on Darren for number five.
Do I guess him again?
Awesome. Steve.
I mean, he's going to show up at
I'm going to guess Ty Cartier.
That is correct.
Hey!
You're right. Maybe we should have just said, is this person in the top 10? Anyway, we're committed to this game now. Okay. John, who is the number six ranked Kraken prospect? And if at any point you want me to summarize.
Carson Rakoff.
That is incorrect.
That's baloney. This is a, like,
we're gonna,
your
we're
scoring
gonna,
system
we're gonna,
stinks.
We're going to have opportunity for
no,
feedback.
You should have done like.
We didn't train him. We didn't train him.
I know.
This is on us. Oh, dog's barking.
Dog's
hold
all
on.
Pissed off.
Hold
like,
on.
He's, she's not happy.
I'm trying to think who they're. Tell me, who do we have so far?
Shane Wright, Edward Chalet, Riker Evans, Jagger Furkus, and Ty Cartier.
And you just guessed Carson Rakoff. Earlier, you guessed Ty Nelson. I actually don't think Ty Nelson is that hot.
I think he's higher than you think. He's higher than I think, put it that way.
Okay.
Or is that a mind game?
Yeah, could be. I didn't go back to him. That's an important concept. Yeah.
Does Cole Lind qualify as a prospect?
No, way
no,
off.
No,
come
no,
on.
I'm not, I will say
I'm asking if he's eligible.
That was in the form of a question.
Yeah.
I will say Cole Lind is not part of this.
Not part of this. All right. Then I'll go with, I guess I'll go Ty Nelson.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Number six is David Goyette.
Oh, wow. Okay. I did see that he was higher than I realized there.
Yeah, he's his scoring in the OHL has been
huge, right?
Truly excellent. He's a great skater.
Yeah.
Really got some good scoring touch. Okay, John, who is number seven?
Sure, it's somebody I mentioned.
Guess Ty Nelson.
I'll give you a hint on this one. This one surprised me, actually.
Dragicevic.
That is correct.
Yes! That's what I was going to guess, actually. I think people are excited about him.
Yeah. Lukas Dragicevic. Again, another, I think scoring works in his favor. Very high scoring defenseman in the WHL.
You know, and I think we talked about this, but he only converted to defense like when he was like 14 or 15, like which is insanely late for somebody that's that good of a hockey player. So you can imagine he's got a lot of offensive flair and he's still learning defensive position. So pretty, I'm excited about him too.
Right.
Okay.
Same. All right.
All right. As much as I want to just keep guessing Ty Nelson over and over until I get it right, I'm not going with that strategy, even though this is probably where he is the correct answer. Reading your face, I don't think you have a very good poker face.
I do like playing poker.
I think he's probably fine.
I think he just gave me a tell. But all I'm going to go with Yanni Newman.
That is incorrect.
That's a good guess.
If it's Ty Nelson, I'm going to be angry.
John,
right
would
now.
You like to steal?
Yeah, I'd like to steal.
You're going
to
guess Ty Nelson?
Ryan Winterton.
It is Ty Nelson.
Oh. God, maybe, we're maybe both
you picked
idiots.
Up, maybe you picked up on the tell.
I was right. Okay, right. I got his tell now, so you can't bluff me anymore, Quizmaster.
All right, John, who's next?
What number are we on? That's important because like somehow I know exactly what number.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're on number nine, which actually means this should be Darren's. So I don't know. We got off somehow. But anyway, Darren, John, this is yours.
I think I'll go back to Winterton.
That is incorrect.
Oscar Fisker Mulgaard.
That is correct.
Wow, nice. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
The friend of the pod.
Who
bump
will
what's
not
the
be
score?
At rookie camp.
I have no idea what the score is.
It is Darren four, John one.
Oh.
Yeah.
But we have one question remaining, and we'll go to Darren at this point, even though we definitely got off at some point.
Yeah.
Who is the 10th ranked prospect? The final question in this game.
How about Carson Rakoff?
Yeah, that's
incorrect.
Mm. What? Wonder if it's Coco.
It is not, but close. It is Yanni Newman.
Oh, okay.
So cool.
You know what? We did pretty well there, though. Right?
We were in the ballpark
named
of everything.
Them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, the exact spot game might not have been the right.
That's tough. That's what I'm saying. You should have basically given it. The scoring should have been like okay, like kind of Family Feud style where you rank.
Oh, that would have been
the
good.
Top.
All right.
Whoever gets the top person of the
number
two
one
picks.
Answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, next
survey
year.
Says
next year. Yeah. We'll do that next year. So final of the game, Darren 4, John 1. So I'll just go through the list one more time because
yes,
that's
please.
Probably what people
somehow
are actually interested in.
Yeah.
Shane Wright 1st, Edward Chalet 2nd, Riker Evans 3rd, Jagger Furkus 4th, Ty Cartier 5th, David Goyette 6th, Lucas Dragicevich 7th, Ty Nelson 8th, Oscar Fisker Mulgaard 9th, and Yanni Newman 10th. Anyone, so my last question for both of you, anyone that you think is an egregious miss
Rakoff, for
miss
sure.
on that 10. Oh, yeah. You think
people
Rakoff
seem pretty high on Rakoff.
I'm high on Rakoff.
Okay.
Very high.
Didn't he have like a hat trick in his preseason game?
He did. Yeah, he's
I mean, it's
scored an absurd
it,
number
but,
of points in their preseason, yeah.
Otherwise, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think there's an egregious miss?
So the player that I'm most excited to watch at Kraken prospects period is Logan Morrison, actually. Mm. An undrafted free agent signing, just highly, highly productive OHL player. And he, I wonder if he's going to be on the Ty Cartier trajectory where a year from now we're like, how did we not know about this guy?
Remember when Ty Cartier showed up at training camp? And he kept doing things because he was like on the radar, right? He wasn't even signed or anything. He was just there as an invitee. And he kept doing things that were like, wow, that was really impressive. Who's that? Oh, it's Ty Cartier again, right? And you're like, I don't know. I don't.
You know what it was for me that stood out with him? And I've got a piece going up next week about it, is his shot. Not so much about, the article's not about his shot, but that stood out so much to me. And I honestly don't know if it was development camp or rookie camp, because it was just like, whoa, this just very different and hard and specific compared to other players. That's kind of what I'm looking for. And I think Rakoff has a wicked shot. And that's why I'm kind of like high on him. So I probably over-index to the shot, even though that's technically not something that you can get a better shot. Just the precision and the heaviness of it, how it looks, that's what blew me away with Cartier last year, or 2 years ago, I guess. So anyway, I'm excited for camps. That was a good exercise. Scoring could have been dialed in a bit, but that's okay.
It's my first time.
Aaron
Rodgers had a worse first game with the Jets. Okay, we'll move on.
Ooh.
Yo.
Eesh. Ooh, wow.
I am from New England, so.
All right. Well, good first quizzical, Curtis. I'm proud of you for putting yourself out there. I think you did a fine job, honestly. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It got my brain working a little. I hope the listeners were playing along and had their brains working as well. Let's talk a little NHL news. The biggest headline that's been going around the last week is the situation. There's already a situation with Mike Babcock in Columbus. So what has happened is, and remember, Babcock has gotten a bad rap over the years.
A bad rap, huh?
Very bad rap for just like psychological warfare against his players is pretty much how I would describe it. Is that a fair, I don't know if it's fair, but is that a
warfare
good?
Warfare might be a little bit of a, I mean, I know what you're getting at. Warfare might be a little strong, but at the same time, like.
A lot of mind games played with his players.
Yeah, yeah.
And
psychological challenges.
And it impacts players in different ways, especially you can figure younger players, right, would have a hard time with some of the mind games, not knowing where they stand, whatever. So on the Spit and Chicklets podcast, Paul Bissonnette effectively accused him of asking players in meetings to hand over their phones so that he could go through their pictures and see what kind of player they are. And Bissonnette supposedly had gotten this from players that had played for Babcock in the past, and apparently it had been happening again in Columbus. Now, of course, he's on this whole like PR tour, right? I saw a story written about him the other day that was like, oh, I really, well, it doesn't matter, but he's trying to clean up his image here, so to speak, publicly. But then what, a few weeks into his tenure, a couple months maybe into his tenure, and already there's something coming out. So there was a statement put out by the Blue Jackets that said Boone Jenner, who's the captain of the team, and Mike Babcock had exchanged photos or whatever, but he didn't think there was anything of it, like, is what the statement said. Like, it was meant, he thought it was innocent. But then Bissonnette kind of doubled down, and other people came out, and people that have been very vocal against Mike Babcock in the past. And so I don't know. They're looking into it. I think they're looking into it. So they being like the PA and
they quote unquote looked into it for a bit and
said no wrongdoing.
Wrongdoing. No. Yeah. And I mean, Johnny Gaudreau kind of talked on the 32 Thoughts podcast and talked about how it was like incorrectly portrayed in the media. Okay. So we've heard from Boone Jenner, Johnny Gaudreau, two players that do not have to worry about their ice time.
Right.
Right. And a little bit more of a veteran in the league. And I think the reality is you ask a 21, 22, 23 year old that's fighting for a spot, fighting for ice time to see their phone. It's a little creepy, right? Mm-hmm. A little weird. And there's a power dynamic there with Babcock because he can control where that player plays. And I think now NHLPA is kind of have already looked into it. They've met with the league and kind of share their things. And it sounds like it's going to continue as far as like investigating a bit. I do like to remind people that Babcock was not fired for this behavior. He was fired for poor performance when the team lost a lot. Toronto, that is. This came out after the fact and his psychological games. And that's like, quote unquote, old school that people do that. Coaches do that. They do that. I mean, Herb Brooks was the master of that. And reality is he would use it to get the most out of his players. Now, I don't know how effective Babcock is about using these kind of things and getting the most out of his players because he obviously wasn't successful in Toronto, which had a really good team. But yeah, it's just incredible. For one, I don't know why Columbus hired him. Again, he was allowed to be hired, but you'd think you'd do some due diligence. And his redemption tour, if you will, never really like conceded any wrongdoing. And that's the thing that I had a hard time with when he got hired is he didn't kind of acknowledge that what he was doing was wrong. And so then how do you expect him to change his behavior if he doesn't recognize that this stuff is wrong? I don't know. That's my opinion. For the most part, like, it's Columbus's problem and it's going
to, you know. Have to think though, on that topic, you have to think that when they're going through their interviews and everything else, that this obviously came up, right? Like, this was a big deal.
Was it?
Huh?
We don't know.
I mean, it was a big deal publicly, at least, right? So you'd think that they would ask about that. Like, hey, you guys, you got a lot of negative press. You've been out of hockey for a while, largely for this reason, because you had all this negative press. What are you going to do differently here? You know, and if you, assuming they asked that question, and I'm assuming.
I think that's a stretch to assume that, right?
Okay.
They might look at Babcock being an excellent coach. They don't care how he gets there.
Okay.
Right?
So let's say they asked that question.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, and they were concerned about it.
Is this like a hypothetical?
Maybe.
Hypothetical?
But let's say that they did.
Okay.
And this early into the tenure, they hear about something that's like, this could be kind of a mind game thing that you're doing here. And I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, it's completely inappropriate, right?
I think
like,
so.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind. The way Boone Jenner, his statement read, and Johnny Gaudreau, how they talked about it, didn't seem like that big of a deal. But it seemed like there's a consistent, hey, let me see your phone. Mm-hmm. That seems weird.
I don't mean to equate these situations at all, but I've been thinking through this a little bit about Daryl Sutter and how there was like, again, I don't want to equate Daryl Sutter's coaching style to this situation at all, but there were reports that he, you know, couldn't like connect with younger players as well. And there was kind of a rift between him and some of the players in his locker room. And then it was tamped down, but then eventually he was out. Right. And it just.
Well, he also very publicly got up and said, oh, who's this rookie? What's his number? I don't know. It looks like he had an assist or something.
Well, you have to wonder if this situation is going with Mike Babcock will head that direction.
Yeah.
Now that there are reports out there about the younger players being concerned about this.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it just goes to show. I mean, I think if you had a coach deploying psychological games, you know, 20, 30 years ago, people might not have blinked at that. That's not the situation now. That's not the culture that the NHL wants to have. That's not the culture that we have generally now. So, you know, I just kind of think of it as, you know, he clearly, well, not maybe, perhaps not clearly, but at least reportedly has not changed. The Tiger has not changed his stripes.
Right.
He still coaches the way he used to. And I just don't know that it's going to work. You know, at the end of the day, it didn't work for Daryl Sutter. And I, again, different situation. But whether that old school coaching style can work in the modern NHL, that's what I've been thinking.
We did it, gang. Moving on to NHL rule changes, which
all right. Thank you. Finally.
Not like
something exciting.
I don't know. One of these is kind of a downer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I know which one you're talking about. Not like real changes to rules, because I think all these rules have sort of existed, but they added some clarifying language around things. A couple of them. So if either team puts the puck into the netting, the protective netting, and then a goal is scored, that can be challenged, which I think could be challenged before, right? But maybe they changed the language a little bit.
Yeah.
Lines, when there's a line change and a guy, like the bench extends into the zone and the guy jumps over the boards to get off the ice before it comes back onside or before the puck goes into the zone or whatever, that is considered onside when his feet leave the ice, right? Both feet leave the ice. So if he still has a foot down on the ice and he's climbing over the boards and the puck comes in the zone, he's offside.
This is the Landeskog rule, right?
Yes.
Where they got called for too many men.
Got called for offside.
Offside. Apologize. Yeah.
Even though he was a sixth player on the ice, right. But he was dinking around and didn't
by
get,
proxy he right. was still included.
If he had stepped another half foot
then jumped
to
over.
His left to slowly climb over the boards at the blue line instead of inside the blue line, he would have been onside, but he didn't, so he was offside.
That's right.
Linesmen are now called linespersons. Love that.
Yeah.
Fouls are now infractions.
I like that, actually.
That
fouls
changes
are kind of weird.
That actually changes my whole worldview. So an illegal stick. So if a player plays with an opponent's stick, that is illegal, which I think...
That was a clarification.
That probably comes from the Trevor Zegras thing last year when he tried to rip the stick out of somebody's hands and got a penalty for it. And he's like, oh, that's against the rules.
I didn't have a stick.
Yeah. It also reminded me, and we might have talked about this when that happened, but there was a play many years ago where Bobby Ryan had his stick ripped out of his hands by Mikko Koivu. And then Mikko Koivu's stick was down on the ice. Bobby Ryan picked up Mikko Koivu's stick and scored a goal with Mikko Koivu's stick, which was the most Minnesota Wild moment of all time.
That's amazing.
And also, and I think this is the one you're alluding to, the no bucket warm-up is now officially banned for players who entered the league 2019, 2020, or later. So the youngsters have to wear a helmet, and anyone entering the league moving forward will always have to wear a helmet in warmups.
Based on an article I read last season, there's like a milestone they need to achieve before they can even do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's no specific number.
It's just once you're
not like a new guy,
you
right?
need at least a couple hundred, right? A couple hundred games.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many players out there were like, I'm almost at that threshold where I feel comfortable enough, but they've entered the league after the 2019-2020 season.
Probably a few.
I know.
Probably at least
there's
a few.
Probably a couple out there.
I mean, the rule, I feel like the rule is specific enough to, and we're referring to a great article on soundofhockey.com by one Darren Brown.
Oh.
You should check it out.
Yeah.
But
that was a very fun article to write, I will say.
And people loved it.
Yeah.
By the way.
So if you haven't checked it out, the No Bucket Warmer Upper article is still there on the website. I'm sure you can find it.
Do a quick search.
But I'm sure that by tailoring it to not after 1920, I'm sure that was intended to kind of leave the status quo now. It's like the players who don't have enough seniority now, it's not really affecting anyone, but it's all about moving forward, right?
Yeah.
You know, like 10 years from now, we're not going to see it.
Why not do it now?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Why not do it?
Why not say this season? Anybody entering the league this season?
Well, probably because I bet they looked around and they were like, I don't see anybody under X.
No, they probably read your article and said, like, this is generally like what.
That was actually kind of my point. It's like they kind of observed the unwritten rule and made it a written rule.
I know what you're saying, but I'm bummed out about it because that means.
I just hope that I didn't write the article. They read it and they're like, we got to get rid of this. This is unacceptable.
This article is too dangerous.
This is too much fun.
We can't have
exactly.
This.
It sounds like.
I don't know. I mean, remember when...
Because there wasn't rules, right? And they were unwritten. Like, they want to write the rules, right?
Right.
So they wrote them.
Yeah. Remember when Tanev got hit in the head of the puck and got stitches?
And then
the next game, he was skating with no bucket again. I was like, well...
Warrior.
It's a commitment to the bit right there. Anyway, those are the rule changes. So pretty exciting stuff, which none of it is actually like rule changes, but that's that. The NHL rookie tournaments have kicked off as well. Kraken aren't not in one.
They're one.
Anything that we want to share here about rookie tournaments?
Just that the Kraken aren't. They're one of three teams not in one.
Mm. And Arizona Coyotes?
No, they're in one.
What are the other teams? Should I keep guessing? No, I'm just going to
This will not end
Carson
well.
Carson Raycock.
Yeah. Islanders and the Capitals don't play in one. It's interesting. It brings up an interesting component. Like, should they be in one? There's one in Penticton that you'd think that they would play in. I'm not sure maybe when they needed to commit to playing in it, they didn't necessarily have the numbers or weren't sure about the numbers that they have. So that might come into play. They're at a stage where they've pretty much got, you know, the prospect depth where that they could probably do this. But it is a bummer the Kraken aren't playing because I'm like tuning into these.
Yeah.
These just watching rookies play randomly, all, like in Buffalo or Florida or Vegas, whatever.
I mean, it's cool. You get to see the NHL jerseys on the ice. Yeah.
I don't think I'd be particularly interested in watching like random teams, but if it were the Kraken, I would watch it 100%.
Right. Oh, yeah, for 100%.
100%. Yeah. I would watch it.
So,
we now move on to our weekly one-timers. And we're actually going to close the show with weekly one-timers because we don't have X's of the week this week. Although I will say here's the total highlight package of Aaron Rodgers' season.
Those were good.
Him running on the field with the American flag. And I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'll go ahead and say that.
I kind of am because went to Cal, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I actually feel pretty bad for Jets fans. And granted, the Jets went on and won that game. But the Jets are so bad historically, right? They're just such a... And I know what it's like to have bad franchises. Like, I'm a Minnesota sports fan. We're a suffering fan base, no question. But I genuinely feel a little bad for them that they went this season. They put together a really good team. They went out, got a good quarterback, bunch of receivers to play with him. Their defense is awesome. He plays 3 snaps. That is insane. That is insane. I genuinely feel bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Aaron Rodgers. I root for storylines. The Jets being bad is fun.
Okay. So our first weekly one-timer. Tomas Tatar has signed with the Colorado Avalanche for 1 year, $1.5 million.
This makes them better.
Okay.
Right? I'm hoping Colorado drops off, which theoretically they did last year by losing to the Kraken in the first round. But,
probably improves their fish stick situation. John doesn't get the joke.
I don't get that at all.
Tatar sauce.
Oh,
Curtis. Okay. Curtis, over to you.
I'll say.
That's neat. Yeah.
All I'll say is that, you know, the Avalanche team that made it to the playoffs last year was entirely dependent on Nathan MacKinnon for scoring. I mean, they need to find someone else to score. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tomas Tatar has, you know, can you count on him in the postseason? Open question. But he should at least be able to score some goals for them during the regular season.
I think I did see Landeskog's going to be available, should be ready around the playoff time. Weird.
I would love to see it. I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Our next weekly one-timer. Whoosh. Curtis. I didn't need to say your name at all, Curtis. Chicago Blackhawks.
I was going to say, we're coming to me on this one.
Oh, man. It's preseason really mode, I guess. Yeah.
It's cocktail hour. Chicago Blackhawks are going to retire Chris Chelios' number. I'm actually surprised that they haven't already.
Seabrook wore his number 7. And I think somebody else did. I'd say I'm a fan of Chris Chelios. I liked him. Yeah. Good player. Character.
Pretty funny stories from
Interesting.
Chris Chelios.
Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the story I heard recently where he was, he got benched at like the Olympics or World Cup or something and he like was drinking beer out of his water bottle on the bench because he was, made me laugh. Stories
sure.
like
I'm
that.
I'm not sure that's something, yeah.
I mean, that's not why they were retiring his number, but. Our next weekly one. Couple players. Carey Price says he probably won't return to play, quote unquote, barring a miracle, which I don't think that surprises me. And then Andrew Ladd has announced.
Well, I did want to talk about, like, remember the sigh when they didn't, when the Kraken did not pick them in the expansion draft?
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. Like, we all didn't want him to be picked, but. He didn't play many games after that. He did play, but not many. So, anyway.
And before you rudely interrupted me, I started saying that Andrew Ladd had also announced his retirement. So,
Atlanta Thrasher.
Oh, there it is.
First captain of the Winnipeg Jets. The reincarnation of the Winnipeg Jets, just so you know.
A.K.A. the former Atlanta Thrashers.
That's right. He was in Atlanta, then went to Winnipeg and was the captain.
I have to challenge.
This will come up later.
Yeah, I have to object to your original thesis statement that you said at the very beginning of the show, which was that an ongoing theme throughout the episode would be the Atlanta Thrashers. At this point, we're like an hour in.
We talked about.
Yeah.
He's part of the NHLPA meeting with the NHL.
Okay.
For the
Mike Babcock.
For the Mike Babcock stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not on here because you deleted it.
Mm.
There was the league is thinking about expansion again, or they're
I did open. Not delete they're, that. It How
was
dare
on
you?
There. It was on there.
How dare you?
They are open to Atlanta for expansion.
Well, yeah, but okay. I mean, hasn't that been like whispered about for a long time?
I know, but like Bill Daly literally said it.
Okay.
So that he's all open right. And things have changed.
Are they going to expand again?
It feels like it's a way out, but Darren Dreger talked about the expansion fee being $2 million, which is insane.
$2 million? That doesn't sound right, John.
Yeah. That's what he said.
$2 million?
$2 billion.
Oh.
$2 billion. Yeah. You're right. It isn't $2 million because
it's an Austin Powers situation.
I don't think that I could afford that, but I feel like we'd use
the Patreon money and then like fund it, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Because yeah. Someone sells their house in Seattle and then has an NHL
we're
team.
We get yeah. patrons that will yeah. be able yeah. to fund it. So, anyway, yeah, so those guys aren't going to play anymore. Our next weekly one-timer. The U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame has announced its 2023 class. So that's U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, located in Eveleth, Minnesota.
And who's from Eveleth? Who like is
I think John Mayasich might have been from there.
Mark Pavlich, I think.
Mark Pavlich. That yeah. could okay.
Is that the Iron Range area?
Yeah.
Okay, then mm-hmm. yeah, it's Mark Pavlich.
So players that have been, I might be wrong about John Mayasich. He may not be from Eveleth. I'm gonna have to look that up. Dustin Brown and Jamie Langenbrunner. Remember what town Jamie Langenbrunner's from? This is a real deep cut, but his name came up.
Carson Kuhlman's hometown. I don't know.
That
where
is right.
Though. I don't know.
That
where
is correct yeah. though. Yeah, okay. It was Cloquet, Minnesota. They're from the same hometown. Brian Burke has also been inducted. Katie King Crowley has been inducted. She's a former Olympian and a Boston College women's head coach. Brian Murphy, also an NHL linesman, has been inducted. So
have you been to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame?
I'm ashamed to admit I have never been there.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not. But I have been to the actual like Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto.
I've been to neither.
Okay.
I'm wondering how the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame is. So, yeah. Seems like fun, but I don't know if I'll be in Eveleth anytime soon.
I mean, same. I don't. it is like, it's far from the Twin Cities. Like, it's not
it's in between a convenient Winnipeg and location. Minneapolis, I've heard.
Yeah.
Based on somebody who drove that.
Our next weekly one-timer. Quinn Hughes and Adam Lowry have been named captains of their respective teams, the Vancouver Canucks and the Winnipeg Jets.
Adam Lowry.
And now we're back to the Atlanta Thrashers, aren't we?
Lowry did not play for the Thrashers as far as I know, okay. But he was he is the third captain in Winnipeg Jets, the new incarnation of the Winnipeg Jets history. So
our final weekly one-timer.
Well, wait, this is a pretty deep cut here.
It is. It is.
We haven't talked about any of these things.
I know. But I find this one a little bit interesting. Max Comtois, formerly of the Anaheim Ducks.
Which you just love to say his name.
It's a good name. It's a good name to say. Comtois.
Like Babcock.
Babcock. Mike Babcock. So Max Comtois has signed a PTO with the Vegas Golden Knights. The only reason I think it's an interesting one is just because I felt like he was one of those players that people were so high on for like a little while, right? When he was still kind of up and coming with the Ducks, people were like, whoa, this dude's going to be really good. He had 16 goals and 17 assists in his third season. That year he played 55 games. That was 2020-2021. And then since then, I don't know, he just kind of like faded.
Sam Steele's in that same boat.
Yeah.
Honestly. But I think this, I've observed this over the years, and I don't know, this is my theory, is that if you have a really good World Junior performance,
oh.
I think people are overly excited about you
mm-hmm.
and they get more attention. I don't know if you've know, but like there's a lot of coverage of hockey out in Canada. And so I think Canadian players get a little more airtime just from that aspect. Not maliciously or anything, but I think that's why Comtois, I think he he was a good player, right? He was thought of a good player. And I don't know what's going in, or maybe it's the money thing right now. He's just getting squeezed. There's talk about the middle class of hockey being squeezed.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds crappy, but because of the flat cap for the last couple of years, people pay for the high-end guys, but they won't pay for the mid-tier. And I think you're seeing that, right? Tatar probably is not getting – he's a one-year deal at $1.5 million. That's not market value, normally, I should say.
Yeah.
But the fact that he signed 1 year is because he's basically hopes to get a bigger contract next year. So, But anyway, Comtois might have been squeezed in this situation, too.
I mean, we haven't talked about all of them, but there are actually a number of recognizable names that have – signed PTOs this year, to your point, that I think a lot of people have been squeezed into that category.
Which, reminder, if you go on a PTO, any team can sign you, right? It doesn't matter. Like, I don't think your team has to sign you.
But how come it doesn't happen more often where I think they usually get released, then they sign with somebody else?
I don't think that's true. I think someone can correct me on this, and maybe it's Curtis, because maybe you can find that one out. I'm pretty sure if you're on a PTO, you can sign anywhere.
I believe you. Mm-hmm. I'm just...
Like, even before you've been released from your PTO.
I don't understand. Like, what if you're, like, play a game, a preseason game, and all of a sudden, like, the team that you just... You scored three goals on, they're like, oh, we want to sign that guy that just scored.
Well, then shame on the team that.
But it just never happens. Now, it could be that nobody scores three goals on a PTO. But remember Daniel Sprong, right? Like last year was on a PTO.
Yeah.
Well, if you've made it this far, we owe you an answer. So we'll get it for you next week.
All right. All right. Yeah, we'll get back to you on that one. Yep. We don't want to give you wrong information. We've never done that before.
No, we don't want to mislead the public.
No.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Hey. Check out that Patreon, huh? I think that'll be a cool thing moving forward. So we're pretty excited about that. Once again, it is patreon.com/soundofhockey. If you want to go check it out, subscribe on Stitcher. No, don't do that. Subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again to Ryan for the lengthy but also well-constructed 5-star review.
It was on point for sure.
Yeah. We will talk to you all very soon for episode 253. It's training camp time, folks. Stick taps for Andy. Talk to you soon. Cheers.